Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now. We all can't help but wonder what adventure lies just over the next ridge. A Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada will take you there. If you're taking on your adventure in a new 2024 Nissan Rogue, class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue. Nissan's SUV has the capabilities to take you where you want to go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I'm an editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as is usual, albeit a few minutes later than typical, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there! Yes. And everybody, remember to tell Tyler he had one thing to do today. That's an inside joke. We are going to talk a little bit today. We're continuing our series about reinventing and repurposing technology in cool and interesting ways. We're going to talk about something that's really kind of a humanitarian sort of approach to hacking. Mm-hmm. But before we really get into it, I wanted to read something. It's a little listener mail. This is actual listener mail. I have it in front of me. It's on real paper and everything.
What kind of strange technology is that?
I know not. It confuses and frightens me. It's like it's appearing on a screen, but it's on an actual physical sheet of paper. Who'd have thunk it?
Is that backlit?
It is, but only because there's a lamp behind the letter that I'm reading. This is a letter that we received from our superfan, Adam Pervez, who actually has sent stuff to lots of our podcasts. He's a big fan of How Stuff Works podcasts in general. And if you guys have been to our Facebook page, you may have seen a picture. Chris and I were sporting a pair of alpaca wool hats. And these are hats that he picked up while he was doing something he calls the happiness plunge.
Alpacas are keen.
Yeah. So the happiness plunge is this idea he had where he decided he wanted to really follow his dreams and try to make the world a better place than it was when he got there. And so the idea is that he quit his job and he started traveling through the world, really, but mostly through Latin America when he started, and trying to help different communities as he traveled from place to place. He would listen to the How Stuff Works podcasts in between those places. Well, I wanted to read a paragraph from this letter. It's actually a fairly long letter, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here's the paragraph. My goal as a traveler is to leave each place better than how I found it, which I do by volunteering everywhere I go. I've had volunteering experiences such as feeding the elderly at a nursing home in Mexico, installing solar panels in rural Honduras, attracting book donations for a rural library project in Peru, playing with kids at orphanages in Costa Rica and Ecuador, designing a financing strategy for a new NGO in El Salvador, and marketing an organization that turns donated used bikes into bike machines, washing machines, blenders, water well pumps, etc., in Guatemala. There's a lot I can offer as an engineer slash MBA. And there's more to the letter than that, but that's kind of what gave us the idea for this podcast. We wanted to talk about technology that people have taken and repurposed to benefit people who are in developing nations, who don't have access to the same level of technology we do. And in fact, if we were to give those people the technology that we take for granted every day, it would not necessarily be helpful because their conditions, their day-to-day conditions, are so vastly different from the ones we are used to that they would not necessarily be able to take advantage of that tech. So they're actually taking kind of a lower-tech approach by repurposing stuff that was never meant to do the things that it now does. And we thought, what a cool idea. So we wanted to kind of get into that and sort of talk about the different ways people have tried to accomplish this. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, you were going to say something.
Well, I was going to say that in some of these places, these are the places where, for example, cell phones have really vaulted over landlines.
Yes.
Because a lot of areas have not ever been wired for landline telephone use. So, now that cell phone technology is so inexpensive, mm-hmm. I mean, just the basic phone technology, many people in places such as, Africa, for example, mm-hmm. More of the rural areas, really it's an urban versus rural thing anyway. But,
yeah.
A lot of more of the rural places or places that are more removed, where there's a lot of distance in between that area and an urban area, cell phone usage, it's easier to put up the towers than it is to wire those places for landlines.
Mm-hmm.
So, in doing research for other podcasts where we've talked about phones, I've just run across stories where they've said, well, cell phone usage per capita may be higher in some of these other places simply because everybody's got a cell phone. They never had a landline phone.
Right, right. It's not that they dropped one for the other. It's that
right.
they completely leapfrogged.
Yeah. And in some of these inventions that we're going to talk about, or these technologies, they may not necessarily have, for example, electricity 24/7.
Yeah.
But they might be able to repurpose some of these other things inexpensively to improve their lives through this other technology. And it is a lot of it is very inventive. I actually saw Apollo 13 invoked in one of the articles that I was searching for because if you know the story, that was the mission where the astronauts had serious problems because some of the technology failed.
Yes.
And they had to come up with other stuff on the fly. I know that was actually the genesis of the idea for the TV show Scrap Heap Challenge, which in the United States was Junkyard Wars.
Right.
Where you had to just throw some other stuff together.
Yeah,
and that's sort of the same idea.
You would go through a junkyard and you would salvage different machines in order to build something that was specifically intended to achieve a particular goal, which
yeah.
was established at the beginning of the show. So you would have a goal, like it might be traverse this landscape here, and you're going to have to be able to go up a 20 degree incline, and there's going to be a section that's going to be rocky, and there might even be a section where you have to travel across water. So you have to build a machine that's capable of doing all those things, but all you have is whatever is in this junkyard.
Yeah, and of course they'd end up, it's TV, so they'd end up seeding the junkyard
yes.
with a handful of necessary parts, because if nobody ever, they don't know everything that's in the junkyard, I'm sure, and
right.
they'd go, well, it turns out that there isn't any of this stuff, and we're kind of stuck.
Right,
so
yeah. it would not make for interesting television, so
no,
they
really
would
wouldn't.
They would put in things in there. But here's the thing is that people are really inventive, right?
Yeah.
And they can come up with solutions that you do not anticipate. So even if you were to seed a junkyard with things that you think, oh, well, clearly they'll want to build a device that can do this by using this, this, and this, it may turn out that they end up getting stuff that you did not seed that junkyard with, and they build something that works, as well or perhaps even better than what you had conceived of when you were seeding it.
Yeah.
Because people adapt to the situation they are in, and they are very quick to adapt their technology as well. And in fact, we have seen that in developing nations, and a lot of the projects we're going to be talking about kind of, they didn't start this process. They just saw something that was happening and decided to help it along. And there are a couple of organizations I want to mention before we even get into specifics. One of those is called Random Hacks of Kindness.
Oh, that's nice.
And another is called Geeks Without Bounds.
Nice.
And both of these organizations are dedicated to helping developing nations through various hack projects. Although in both of those cases, they are more focused on the software side of things.
Yeah.
So like you were saying, you know, cell phone use being much more prevalent than landline use, a lot of these involve apps for phones that would alert people to things that affect them in their daily lives, and things that other people just wouldn't think of because it's not something that affects us, right? So a lot of these are programs that would not that are, again, on that software side, that are not about hardware hacks. We're really focusing mostly on hardware hacks today, although some other stuff might pop up too.
Yeah, this is also keep in mind that a lot of the technology that can be used for it's perfectly good technology. You know, we're not talking necessarily about junk, although it might be things that other people have cast off as being obsolete. In some cases, it's, you know, completely functional.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no reason to overdo it.
Yeah. And there's some cases where it's not even repurposing, in the sense of making something do something it wasn't meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like repurposing just as in reusing. So there are a lot of these programs that allow you to do things like donate your old electronics.
Sure.
To various programs. So like old computers, that's the perfect example. It might be a computer that you think is obsolete because it can't run the latest stuff that you like to run.
Yeah.
But for a developing nation, it might be a very useful asset. But we're really looking at, in this podcast, technology that's been turned into doing something else. And I was going to start with Maya Pedal.
Okay.
And Maya Pedal, I'm assuming that's the organization that Adam was talking about in his letter, because Maya Pedal is a Guatemalan organization that takes donated bikes, mainly donated from the United States and from Canada, and they take those bikes to either recondition them and sell them, or they use the parts to build what they call, and I'm going to completely butcher the pronunciation of this, bikey maquinas, or bike powered machines, pedal powered machines. And so what they're doing is they're actually taking these bikes apart to some extent and using that pedal power. So instead of it turning a wheel, it's turning some other mechanical part to accomplish a task that they might otherwise not have a mechanical opportunity to address it. Like things like, and it's simple stuff. You know, Adam had mentioned things like a washing machine.
Yeah.
Well, that's a perfect example. You've got a big tub that you put the water and the soap and the clothing in, and you have an agitator in there, something that turns around and moves the clothing so that it creates this agitation, which will help the soap and water work out all the soil and everything else that's in the clothing. You have that agitator hooked up through a series of gears and chains or belts to a pedal system on a bike, and it might even have the back half of the bike more or less intact, where you've got the seat and everything, and you sit down the seat, you pedal the pedals, it turns the agitator, and it ends up washing clothing that way. There's actually a guy in Texas who had a blog. The last entry I saw was in 2010, but there was a guy in Texas named John Wells who was built something very similar to that called he called it the Bike-O-Washer. Washer spelled W-O-R-S-H-E-R in true Texas fashion. He was part of the Southwest Texas Alternative Energy and Sustainable Living Field Laboratory. So the idea was that he was building stuff that would allow you to have a sustainable life where you're not depending so much on things like electricity. And it was a really cool project, but it's very similar to the stuff you see in these developing nations. Now, in the case of Texas, obviously it's not due to lack of electricity. It's more of kind of an environmentally friendly lifestyle that he wants to adopt.
Right.
Right. But in the case of Guatemala, it may be necessity because not all places in rural in rural areas of these countries have access to regular electricity.
Yeah, that's true. And one of the things that struck me in doing research for this podcast is the similarity of some of these inventions to things that you might see in the pages of Make Magazine or among the hacker community. Talking about different bike machines, for example, I remember watching a video probably more than a year ago now where some folks in San Francisco basically collect old bikes, and what they do is they cut them apart and make new bikes out of them. I mean, they're strange contraptions, things with different size wheels and all sorts of other stuff. It's like an art bikes community, and it's mostly because they can and want to have fun doing that. But you can do the same kinds of things to create sustainable machinery.
Yeah, I saw a great video from the Maya Pedal Group.
Yeah.
Where they showed a degrainer. And it looked like the back half of a bicycle, but then there was this chute that you could feed corn through, corn that's actually still on the cob, uncooked corn. And you would feed it through, and it had a series of gears that would end up pulling the kernels off the cob.
Yeah.
So that you could degrain that corn very, very efficiently. You just turn you're pedaling, that's what's turning the gears. And it was so much faster than doing it by hand that it actually saves a lot of time and effort.
Yeah.
So that was another example. But they had lots of other ones. I saw one that was a pedal-powered blender.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing how they were using aloe plants. They would take the skin off the aloe plant and chop it up, put it in with some water in a blender, and then start pedaling. And they would use this to create things like shampoos that they could then sell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a way of generating money. Because these are, in general, the communities that these projects are benefiting are incredibly poor compared to the lives that most of the people in the West, like the developed nations, are used to.
Yeah.
So, for example, for me and Chris, you know, the thought of the reason why these devices are so important is because they take away the reliance upon things like kerosene, which might cost $4 a week, and that is prohibitively expensive. I mean, that's a totally different world than the world we live in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, if you're listening to this podcast, this is kind of a different concept.
Different experience, yeah. So, yeah, and there was a lot of other examples of the same sort of thing, mostly, you know, all these really cool versions of bikes to do things like make tiles. There was a bicycle-powered thresher for harvesting crops.
Mm-hmm.
There were water pumps. I saw one where a guy was riding a bike and water was coming out of a pipe, and it was like a bicycle powered well.
Yeah. I actually ran across an invention from the Nippon Basic Company in Japan called the CycloClean. And basically it's designed to you add it to the bike. It's kind of hard to describe. You might want to look it up. But it's got water containers. So somebody would ride their bike, and it goes on your bike. An existing bike, so it's not unmodified, if you will. You don't want to cut a bike apart or anything like that.
Right,
it's a moving bike. And so you ride to a place, a source of water. Now, if you think about lakes or streams, creeks, most of us listening to this podcast probably know all sorts of microorganisms live in that water. A lot of it isn't safe to drink, and a lot of people around the world don't have access to clean water. So what this does is you pour the water into the containers. And as you, using the kinetic energy of pedaling the bike, the CycloClean will filter the water. So it actually creates potable water by the energy of the bike, and it's portable and potable.
Nice.
If you will. So that's a pretty nifty device.
A portable potable.
There were
in Jeopardy category.
Yeah.
That's potent potables, but anyway.
Actually, I just want to point out before we move on real quick.
Yeah.
A lot of the devices that I found in researching this episode are not things we can talk about because they're invented. They're intended to be inexpensive and they're new. So it's not really repurposing technology.
Right, right.
There are so many really cool devices. It might also be worth investigating it again in the future. Some of the really cool devices that are, you know, there'll be like a $20 something and it completely does a very useful function and speeds up life.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, if I could just use this.
Like we could talk, you know, Dean came and did the whole thing about, you know, his water projects, which I think we talked about in the Dean Kamen podcast.
Yeah.
But that
yeah.
was years ago.
Yes.
Anyway, so I wanted to also mention, yeah, Maya Pedal, if you live in the United States or Canada and you're interested in donating an old bicycle to this,
mm-hmm.
Maya Pedal does have its own website. You can learn more about the program and how you can participate. They also invite people to come down and visit their facilities in Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you can even work there for a while, volunteer there for a while,
wow.
and help do things like make repairs or design new machines. It's very much a hacker culture in the sense of they have specific tasks they need to achieve. They have a specific set of resources that are at their disposal,
mm-hmm.
and they have to find the way to make the resources meet their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not interested in making it look pretty. They're not interested in any of that. Their aesthetics are not important.
Right. It's not the point.
Yeah. It's all about achieving the goal. And that's something that appeals to a lot of hackers
mm-hmm.
who are all about, hey, yeah, I know that this was meant to do this one thing, but you know, if we just changed it a little bit, we could totally do this other thing.
Right.
Let's see if we can make it happen. And, you read a lot about that kind of stuff in these stories. There was another one that I wanted to mention, a very similar kind of idea, again, using bicycles. A fellow named Hal Watts invented something designed to help countries that are all about dealing with e-waste.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, old electronics. Yeah.
It's a serious problem.
Right, yeah. If you've ever tried to get rid of your electronics, maybe you've tried to put them in some sort of e-waste recycle program.
Mm-hmm.
One of the problems of some of those programs, not all of them, they're not all created equal, but of those programs.
That's important to note.
Yes. Some of these programs ship that stuff off to various developing nations where they have an industry all around recycling that material, and it's mostly about recapturing the metals that are used in those products, mainly copper.
Yeah. And lead, too. That's
yes.
another one of the big ones.
Recapturing the copper and lead that's used in these electronics. It can be a very dangerous thing to do if you're not following particular steps, right? And it can release a lot of toxic elements into the environment and also affect people's health.
Yeah, the thing is, too, that in some of these cases, the people who are disassembling the electronics aren't given the proper tools to do that. And
right.
some I've read about people who had to put materials into a fire, essentially intending to melt it all down. And, of course, in doing so, it releases
toxic chemicals
into the soil.
Into
the atmosphere. The people in the immediate area have health problems as a result of the metals leaching into their soil
and
having to breathe the smoke.
It can affect areas even further out from the immediate area. It's one of those, I mean, it in a way, it really shows that environmental concerns and ecology go beyond just the point. Like there's like a ring effect, right?
Right.
You move one ring further out from the center and you can still see where the effects are. And they might not be as severe and they may not be the same effects as you would see right at the point of contact, but
mm-hmm.
it's still negative. Well, in this case, it's exactly what you're talking about. You know, a lot of these countries, what they do is that they will use fire to melt stuff down, like let's say copper wire that's insulated. So you've got a rubber insulation around copper wire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they want to get to the copper. They want to get the rubber off of there. And what's an efficient way of doing that? Well, you could burn the rubber off, but that can release a lot of toxic chemicals into the atmosphere and get
mm-hmm.
it into the ground as well.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
A spirit of adventure lives inside of us. Nissan's SUVs have the capabilities to transform your spirit of adventure into actual rubber meets the road into the wild, true blue, real life adventure. You just need a Nissan and a plan. Or better yet, just a Nissan. You can hop into a Nissan Rogue and discover what comes next. Don't worry, the Nissan Rogue has your back. Class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Just climb in and go. No need to connect your phone. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the new 2024 Nissan Rogue. No matter where you roam, you'll stay connected to home. Life is one huge adventure, and every day is a little one. No matter if the ride you're on is big or small, a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada can elevate your adventure and push your limits to something new. Your next adventure is waiting for you. Get in a Nissan SUV and go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
And then you also have, essentially, you have burnt copper, which is not as valuable as copper that has not been put through this process. Mm-hmm. So what Watts did was he built a machine that was, again, a bicycle-powered machine, where he called it the E-Source. And it has a grinder in it. And it has also a metal separator. It's like a centrifuge in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do is you put the copper wire into the grinder and you pedal the pedals. Some grinders actually grind that up so that the rubber and the copper come apart. It shreds the copper wire so you get smaller segments of copper wire and the rubber is pulled right off of the copper.
Mm-hmm.
The spinning plate actually spins so that it separates out the copper from the rubber. So then you've got these rubber pellets on one side, and you've got the copper on the other side. And it means that you no longer have the danger of burning this stuff and releasing the toxic chemicals. And you can actually recycle the rubber as well. So it also adds a second level of revenue to this process,
mm-hmm.
which before was all about the metal, because you know you couldn't use the rubber after you've burnt it off. But now you've got these rubber pellets that you can actually use in other forms of recycling. So it adds benefit to the process and it takes away some of the more dangerous parts of recycling electronics.
Mm-hmm.
So that was his invention. There's actually video on the web. He's got a website all about E-Source. So it's E-S-O-U-R-C-E. If you do a search for that, you can actually find his website and learn more about it and the project that he's been working on. It's really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another example of, again, using bicycles. There are a lot of those because bicycles are one of those, that's a piece of technology that's common around the world.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of those that it's so much more accessible than other kinds of technology. And since it's not dependent upon electricity or fuel, it's really attractive for these communities that might not otherwise be able to afford the sort of technology that can do whatever it is these machines do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. In a similar vein, you actually wrote about one of the technologies I wanted to talk about.
Sure.
And one of the serious problems that they have in some developing nations, or a lot of developing nations, I should say, is babies who are born prematurely, they need incubation to keep them warm. And I think it's really clever. Jonathan wrote an article for the website HowStuffWorks.com on using engines to serve as incubators. Mm-hmm. It's really, really cool stuff. It uses an engine to generate the heat, but it also has a battery powered backup. And it was actually developed by the Center for Integration of Medicine and Innovative Technology, or CIMIT, mm-hmm. and a company called Design That Matters, which is into all kinds of different design, really. Mm-hmm. They had a contest to see who could come up with the best contraption for this. And it, uses basically different parts of the automotive assembly for, there's a handrail built into it, for example, and they're parts that are not part of the automotive kit, but rest of it, they use headlights to generate heat.
Yep.
And HVAC for stir the heat around.
Yeah, circulate the air.
Yeah.
It's that was definitely an interesting project to read about, because again, it was this idea that it's not just the problem of getting the tech to them. It's getting tech that is easy to maintain. And it's a lot easier to maintain the basic parts of an automobile, again, a technology that has fairly wide distribution, than it is for something that's incredibly specialized. So mm-hmm. if a hospital sent a high-tech incubator mm-hmm. to a developing nation, and that incubator were to break down, as technology tends to do over time, it's a lot harder for that. It may be impossible for that organization to make repairs. It may take months to get a broken machine fixed when it's got that level of sophistication, and the tools that the people have don't meet that level of sophistication.
Right.
So being able to create technology that can accomplish the same goal, but is built from much more basic types of tech that have a lot more distribution around the world, means that you have made it far more accessible.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, in fact, I read this, and this was from Make Magazine. There was a great article by Paul Spinrad called "Design for Hack in Medicine,"
mm-hmm.
and in that there was a little fact that said about 90% of medical technology that reaches poor countries is hand-me-down equipment designed for first-world facilities.
Yeah,
that's the problem, mm-hmm. because these are not first-world facilities that these devices are going to.
Right.
So there's limited use there.
You don't go in and plug something into the wall in some of these cases.
Right.
You don't have a wall to plug into in some of these cases.
Right.
So you have to come up with a new way of powering that. And I think I misspoke a few minutes ago when I was talking about using the car engines. They don't, put the kit on the engine. That would not be very good. No, they use the engines for parts.
Yeah.
And that's because the people have the tech around, and generally people know how to repair a car. So
right.
they know what the different pieces do, and the parts would be available.
Yep. And then I wanted to talk a little bit about a fellow named Jose Gomez Marquez.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's really looked into this medical issue mm-hmm. about creating medical equipment for countries that do not have first world medical facilities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a whole list of different kinds of technology that he and his team have come up with to help out these countries. One of those was a device that actually uses sunlight to sterilize surgical tools,
mm-hmm.
which, again, that's phenomenal. According to the article, it says it uses a bucket, a pressure cooker, and 140 pocket-sized mirrors, all of which were purchased out of a Nicaraguan market. And then they built out this device that uses sunlight to end up heating these surgical tools so they are sterilized, because they don't have electricity, or at least not enough electricity, to power a regular autoclave for sterilizing tools. And that if they were to go with one that ran on fuel, it would cost them so much money. And again, we're talking about small amounts of money for most of us, but for these communities, it's prohibitively expensive to run those sort of devices, which means that you are risking some major medical catastrophes if you do not have properly sterilized surgical tools.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about possibility for terrible infections that could really make patient mortality rates skyrocket. So this was a way of creating a device that doesn't depend on electricity. It just uses sunlight, which, you know, is much easier to get hold of than it would for something like electricity. So that was a good example. But then the article actually goes into other things that were developed specifically for this community and communities like it through MIT,
yeah.
Which was this idea of medikits.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read about these?
I did, yeah. Gomez Marquez is the program director for MIT's Innovations in International Health
mm-hmm.
program. And the idea behind these kits and this program is that these parts and pieces are available to physicians who are working in these areas. They
yeah.
might be able to find that. And so the point was to teach them how to use everyday stuff to make equipment that they would have, you know, they would be familiar with as physicians in the first world. They would already be familiar with the pre-made manufactured version of this. Now his group wants to teach people how to take these parts and do it themselves on the fly,
right,
from what's on hand.
And in fact, they have these medikits that come in five different variations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So there's drug delivery, lateral flow diagnostics, lab on a chip, mm-hmm. vital signs, and agricultural prosthetics, which the agricultural prosthetics one is pretty wild to me, but I'll talk about that in a second. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
It's talking about taking a lot of, like Chris was saying, a lot of basic elements that you can find in other forms of machinery and electronics. So talking about things like plungers or bicycle pumps or compressors, tilt sensors, that sort of stuff, these basic elements, and then teaching people different ways of putting those things together to accomplish whatever your goals are.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they talked a lot about how they learned about using toys,
yeah.
parts from toys as medical equipment. So things like a remote-controlled helicopter and removing some of the machinery from that in order to create a medical device.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about there was an electric mechanical Ferris wheel toy that could be double as a centrifuge just with some modifications.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
A spirit of adventure lives inside of us. Nissan's SUVs have the capabilities to transform your spirit of adventure into actual rubber meets the road into the wild, true blue, real life adventure. You just need a Nissan and a plan. Or better yet, just a Nissan. You can hop into a Nissan Rogue and discover what comes next. Don't worry, the Nissan Rogue has your back. Class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Just climb in and go. No need to connect your phone. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the new 2024 Nissan Rogue. No matter where you roam, you'll stay connected to home. Life is one huge adventure, and every day is a little one. No matter if the ride you're on is big or small, a Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada can elevate your adventure and push your limits to something new. Your next adventure is waiting for you. Get in a Nissan SUV and go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
So they talked about how, you know, medical equipment, the comparable medical equipment, if this country were to try and buy it, would be really expensive.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about really sophisticated medical equipment, but that you could accomplish the same outcome with these low-tech approaches just by repurposing the technology, and suddenly the cost drops dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly these things that were out of reach for these medical facilities become attainable. It just means that you have to learn how to adapt this technology so that it can do what you need it to do. And the article was so fascinating to me because it talks so much about how they found, they discovered that there were people in the field already doing this,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
There are people who were taking equipment and saying, all right, well, I'm just going to take this one piece of equipment I have and I'm going to alter it in this way so it can do what I need it to do better than it can right now. Because the use cases might be very specific and the equipment might be very generalized. And so you might have a generalized piece of equipment that can do a lot of stuff, but it can't do it as well as a modified piece of equipment could. And they were starting to see how people were modifying things and improvising out in the field in order to make repairs or to make modifications to get better results. It was really, really interesting, and also really speaks a lot to human ingenuity.
Yeah. Well, I think for somebody who would be trained in a modern hospital to do medical care, you would be thinking of the technology that we have available to us. And I think that the trick is to get people to see the similarities between everyday stuff and the high-tech equivalent.
Yeah.
You know, the photo I saw in the article I read about this program, they show him using a drinking straw for a pipette. Now, you know, I would think myself, and I'm not a medical professional by any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, having elementary chemistry classes in high school, thinking, you know, well, that's kind of, you know, that's not as scientific and it's not as sanitary. But, you know, if you do things carefully and you know what you're doing, you can still do a lot with that technology available. And I think that's the point, is to draw that parallel so that you see, yes, I mean, you are achieving the same goal with this everyday technology that you would be with this highly precise manufactured stuff.
Yeah.
And you can do it with what you have, and it will help people. It is worth pointing out that a lot of there are initiatives and non-governmental organizations that are repurposing less modern technology, you know, stuff that's 5 years out of date, 10 years out of date,
right?
Stuff that's still perfectly viable, and sending it to other countries that don't have access to those technologies, which is you know, great. Rather than scrapping it, you know, somebody else is able to put it to use, but not everyone can use that. So these initiatives are certainly very valuable.
Yeah, and getting back to the Medikit stuff,
mm-hmm.
what the team discovered was that when they started to distribute these Medikits. Let me read a quote from the article. It says, we designed the limits of our early kits carefully, but when users began to snap on, extend, and test their creations, something emerged that we did not anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
They hacked our kits, which is what we were talking about. Like, they made the kits modular. Like, mm-hmm. these ideas of these modular kits so that you could create different... It's almost like the medical version of Arduino stuff.
Yeah.
It was a very modular approach to creating medical equipment, but they were going beyond the modular approach and adding in elements that were not part of the kit or physically altering parts of the kit in order to do what they needed it to do. And they started to see that, okay, well, with this sort of mentality, which makes perfect sense, you know, they are trying to meet the needs of whatever their community happens to be. They said, all right, we have to think to design these kits with hacking in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that this stuff is going to get hacked when we send it out, we have to design the kits. And they said, while it's impossible to predict every type of device a kit can produce, you can start with a core set of devices. Start to add degrees of freedom to that core, and then try to anticipate design areas in which those degrees will be hacked. And the reason why they want to make sure that they take this into account is, one, so that the devices are as accessible and useful as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But two, and possibly more importantly, they want to put safety measures in place.
Yeah.
So that if you were to hack this medikit, you would not end up creating a device that could cause more harm than good.
Right.
So that was their other concern, was that, all right, well, we want to make sure that whatever we design, it's not going to end up killing people when a hack goes wrong. Because not every time, hackers know this, not every attempt is a success. Sometimes you take stuff apart and it just don't work no more.
Yeah.
Some of us, that's the only kind of hacker we are. I'm guilty of that.
Yeah.
I can take things apart really well. Putting it back together and making it work. Okay, it's a baby step process, people. So anyway,
where did these extra pieces come from?
Yeah, I don't even know what this fits in. I wanted to talk a little bit about the agricultural prosthetic medikit, flavor of medikits they had, because that was one that I thought was kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the kit essentially has a universal gripper. So this is a device for people who have lost a limb and need something in order to be able to harvest crops. So it might be something so that you could pick a fruit from a tree. But let's say you've lost a limb through some terrible injury or illness.
Yeah. And in some cases, that would lead people not to want to hire you anymore.
Right.
Because you're no longer as effective.
Right. So this kit came with a universal gripper made from PVC, bicycle inner tubes, and a soda bottle to attach most farm tools onto the arm or forearm of an amputee farmer. So the soda bottle was the part that fit over the whatever part of the arm remains.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that would fit on that. And then the rest would extend from the soda bottle out, ending in the universal gripper so that it could pull or grip onto whatever it is you needed. And it said each part of the kit follows the same three principles: core device, modifier device, and consumables. And then it talked about how, in various articles, talked about how people who received these kits even then would modify them further by adding in other elements, like other stuff to extend the arm even further than it was already meant to go, so that it could help people reach crops that otherwise would be out of their range. So again, people took the stuff that was distributed and made even more modifications so that it was more useful for their own daily lives. Fascinating stuff. And
absolutely.
And again, I mean, the ingenuity here, like people noticing that a noisemaker in a toy could be used as an alarm system for a medical device, so that when something is getting to a critical parameter, it goes, a noise is made so that it alerts people.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that, like where they don't have that specialized equipment, they're building it themselves. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's what tech stuff is about. You know, if you're a long-term listener, you know that, Jonathan and I like to talk about technology and people, how it affects people. And I think this is really awesome, because a lot of these devices that people are taking apart are either obsolete or broken, and they're repurposing them and helping other people with that. And I just think that's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's not just ingenuity, but compassion. And those two elements coming together, that's like the best of humanity, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about caring for other people and using your creative endeavors to come up with new solutions. That's a great story. Mm-hmm. And so guys, if you have interest in this, I highly recommend you look into some of these projects further and see, maybe there's something you can help out with. Maybe there's something you can either donate money to, or even better, if you are able to donate your time or expertise to some of these projects, mm-hmm. you can make an enormous difference in the lives of other people. And bring a help bring a better living experience to people who really are having a totally different kind of life than the one most of us are used to.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just a small thing to you, it may make a real difference in someone else's life.
That's true. So I'm glad that we had this discussion. Yeah. I think that's a good overview of the subject. Now there are a lot more examples that are out there. We really just covered some pretty broad topics, but I do recommend you look into it if this is something that interests you, and maybe you'll find your passion like Adam did, who, you know, he really uprooted his entire life in order to pursue this. And that's amazing. Happiness Plunge indeed. In fact, happinessplunge.com, folks, if you want to take a look at his website, because, it's a crazy, wonderful sort of thing to do. I'm not sure that I am the kind of person who could make that commitment. I am amazed at people who do, and thankful for them as well. Well, that wraps up this discussion. If you guys have subjects that you would like to suggest we cover, you can contact us by email. Mm-hmm. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or you can let us know on Facebook or Twitter. Our handle there is techstuffhsw, or hey, you can send us a real life letter.
A what?
Yeah.
Is that using that fancy technology you've got over there?
I used Google, and that's what it says this thing is.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, the address for the office is on our website, howstuffworks.com. So, and hey, we love getting mail, and the stuff you missed in history class, ladies, get a lot more of it than we do. So let's make them jealous for a while, shall we? And we'll talk to you guys again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
We all can't help but wonder what adventure lies just over the next ridge. A Nissan Rogue, Nissan Pathfinder, or Nissan Armada will take you there. If you're taking on your adventure in a new 2024 Nissan Rogue, class-exclusive Google built-in is your always-updating assistant to call on for almost anything. Google Assistant, Google Maps, and Google Play Store are built right into the 12.3-inch HD touchscreen infotainment system of the 2024 Nissan Rogue. Nissan's SUV has the capabilities to take you where you want to go. Learn more at NissanUSA.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.